Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
All right, computer, why don't you go ahead and chart us a course home through the Odinian Nebula, please.
Captain, I do not advise that. You know it is dangerous. And there are pirates and beasts in the space, the deep space.
Yeah, computer, just maybe do what I say, please. Go ahead and... What's with the alarms? What's going on?
I did try to warn you.
Activate rig gate protocols.
Hello, I am Ken Brown, and as your Game Master, I welcome you back to the world of Riven, the Shattered Continent. Will the rest of this merry band introduce themselves?
Hello there, I'm Harkos Ironjaw Pissarro, and I'm an Alakokra monk. And the world is confusing lately, but I plan to use my second chance to give everyone else theirs. And I'm portrayed by Nick Simpson.
And I am Trevor Ironjaw. The world is strange right now, but I have given my word. No matter how fate directs me, I shall stand and protect those who cannot protect themselves. Portrayed by Brad Konauer.
Thanks, crew, and thank you for joining us at our table. Now, prepare yourselves for Rolling in the Geek. Hello, listeners. Ken, your Game Master here. I want to thank you for joining us here at Rolling in the Geek. We are once again, though, asking you for your support, because through your support, we are able to create content with improved quality and quantity. Check out Rolling in the Geek over on Patreon and choose a tier with rewards that fit you. Every little bit helps us along our path. Now back to three guys who are more excited to game than sleep. Last time on Rolling in the Geek. The guards have interrupted date night, much to the displeasure of both Harkos and Trevor. They are taken by their separate groups and both interact with the leaders, which is equally unpleasant for both of them. The only one that seems to be somewhat on the level is named William, who says that he is the captain of the guard for Aetherport. He is surprised by the news of the duo shares about the dragons, but he tells them that he hasn't heard any reports about dragon activity, and he does sit on the council for King Gibbous Jubilee. They are shown into the throne room to meet with the king and find him along with his whole assembly. King Jubilee has a boisterous interaction with them and says that he was excited to meet them after hearing that they helped quell a rebellion of peasants in Aramor. They tell the council that they were not in Aramor to squash a rebellion, but to fight a dragon, and that the information that they have is wrong. Lord Tyrillian speaks to them about how that can't be true because the reports that they have received were to the contrary, and accuses them of fear-mongering. They fight back and forth with Malus and the king's mother making whispers into his ear. They eventually depart in frustration and leave the castle into a blizzard. Trevor decides that he wants to head back to the clothier to reacquire his armor just in case. And as they make their way, the snow stops. And that is where we pick back up.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. the way that I said that's where we pick back up sounded a lot more ominous than
it did. It sounded very ominous. I don't think I appreciate your omniscience.
And that is where we pick back up.
No, nope, too much.
Did I sound like I was on radio there for a minute?
Kinda.
I have music that sounds like that, and that's what's going to happen there.
Hey, this is Kale, 98.5K. We're getting ready to jump right back into this encounter, but first, let's hear them old songy blues.
95.8 The Geek.
Now when I was just an owlet down in the monastery, I didn't have no friends. Everyone was mean to me.
This is why I do parodies and don't write originals, ladies and gentlemen.
And now we need that as one of your parodies at the end of of the episode.
We'll see about it, because making up my own melody pre-recording and then remembering the fucking thing, writing lyrics to songs that already exist is a challenge in and of itself, which is why I have to write at the top of the page what fucking song it is. So if I ever go back to it, I know what the syncopation for my lyrics should be. Sometimes Nick fits mini word into small syncopation and later Nick does not know how made happen. So to write my own thing and then go, right, how did this fucking go? Kudos to fucking songwriters. This is why you have music.
Why use lot word when few word could do trick?
You see.
So we're making our way towards the clothier shop. Yes.
Yes.
So Harkos, obviously we've created quite a stir. Perhaps we get my armor and I send Kingsley with a note back to the Brava to inform them of what's going on. I don't think we should go back on the off chance that they perhaps don't know what ship we came in on.
It's, that makes a lot of sense.
So, I'm gonna take paper out of my pack.
Just want to point out Trevor gives a shit about Captain Kirby.
And,
Brad just moves past it. No comment.
Just ignoring it, and I love it.
I wanna start writing out a note to Lenara.
You forgot how to write.
Ah, oh, damn. So I wanna start writing out a note to Lenara that things potentially have gone not as planned, and we don't want to lead anybody back to the ship. Just in case they on the chance that they don't know which ship we came in on. If somehow I could manage my hammer, that would be great. I'm going to head to my armor now, but we would like to make sure that neither her or Evelyn or begrudgingly Kirby take any heat.
Or any of
actions.
Them. I mean,
or any of them, but yes,
oh, God,
them.
Phil.
Harkos, is there anything you'd like to put in this before I send Kingsley with it? Phil's drunk. He doesn't fucking know.
Yeah, but you want to know what else Phil is? Not with us. So you want to know what happens if we have to bunker down somewhere else or get captured somewhere else and Phil's just off on his... Do you know how fun that conversation's going to be? Do you know how great it's going to be for Phil to be like, why didn't you guys take me with?
Because you were drunk.
You were fucking sloshed. So was Harkos. Yeah. Fucking talk your way out of that circle. Let's not focus on the future. Let's focus on the now.
Though you've put a really interesting idea in my head.
Oh.
Of how fun it would be for Nick to play Evelyn, for Brad to play Lenara, and then you go on a rescue mission with Phil if you guys get kidnapped.
Oh my God.
I simultaneously like and hate it at the same time.
I gotta be honest, I'm like super here for it.
Like, I think that's genius, but I don't want to play Lenara.
Oh, too fucking bad, bitch. You might have started this fucking cruise, but you're just a passenger now.
I like it, though. That's pretty neat.
Just so that I'm clear, are you trying to, like... Because she has your hammer.
Yeah.
So are you, like, going to try to set up to meet with her somewhere?
Yeah, if she could meet us somewhere. If she could manage to meet us somewhere unseen. If not, then no.
Did you take the sword?
What sword?
Your dad's sword?
I don't believe so.
No, I didn't.
Okay. I was just saying, cause
I was going to be surprised if you said yeah, because I'm fairly positive you handed it back to him.
Of course, I guess we could go by his shop, too.
Well, I was just going
to... Just bust in, steal all your dad's shit.
Or he might still be there. Who fucking knows? What's closer right now? Is it my dad's shop?
Has anything to say?
Or is it the clother?
Probably the clother.
Okay, so that's definitely where we want to go first.
Yeah, because your dad's shop. I mean, it's in the nicer areas of town, but the you know, the Dove restaurant that you went to and thereby the clothing shop that you passed by to get there is much closer to the castle.
And Nick, you said you don't think Harkos has anything to say in the note.
No, he'd probably be like, sure, let me see it. And he'd just sign his name at the bottom.
Okay.
And that would be it. So it has his handwriting there. So if Evelyn goes to read it, she knows that Harkos was of drunken mind and body whilst the note were written in his presence.
Yeah. So we'll do that. Shit. No. You know. No. I don't want her to bring me my hammer. We'll leave that out of the note. Okay. And then we'll do the father's shop one because I think logically that makes more sense. So.
Yes, yeah, they already know that.
Yeah.
Who, you know, your dad is.
So, yeah, we'll leave the hammer part out.
So are we going to the clothier and your dad's shop or just your dad's shop?
Yeah, the clothier first. I need my armor because I'm in fancy clothes.
So on our way to the clothier.
Yeah, I do love that Harkos has not had a comment about that. And I think that it just kind of passed underneath the radar.
You know what it's going to be. He's drunk enough that he notices it, but he doesn't really register it. But when he the goes to sleep moment, and wakes
the
up.
The first fucking moment we're going to wake up in prison together is going to go, did you have on a fucking suit yesterday? Last night? Whatever. Oh, my brain is pounding. It feels like there's a woodpecker on my cerebellum.
So I'm going to finish up the note, roll it up, and give it to Kingsley. Please take that to Lenara, if you would.
Hey, so Kingsley... kind of hops down on your arm and grabs a hold of the note in his beak. And he looks at you. He just stares at you for a real long time.
Pet him on the head.
He doesn't move or flinch or anything when you do it. He just stares at you.
Are you Kingsley? Are you okay?
Hang on. Well, okay. Harkos half stumbles up to Kingsley and looks him dead in the eyes. And in Orin, like very drunken Orin, goes, listen, I know that it's your job, but it's also mine. And I promise that I will do as good as I can. Just make sure you hurry. He will be safe.
So now he looks back and forth between the two of you. You can tell that they're like, there's a little bit of concern in those bird eyes.
Kingsley, we will be fine. Please.
He begrudgingly turns and then spreads his wings and takes off from your arm. He does a sad look over his shoulder back at you as he flies away.
You're evil.
Before we get going, just to nip any kinfuckery in the ass, Harkos is gonna look Trevor up and down and then go, you don't have your hammer.
I also don't have my armor, which is where we're going to go now.
Harkos is gonna reach in his bag and pull out the Dragon Rock dagger. You know, better than nothing.
Fair enough.
I mean, it gives you a weapon.
Right.
You'll probably still die, but at least you'll die fighting with more than unarmed strikes, because that's my thing.
I'll take the dagger. But okay. On to the shop.
All right. So you head to the clothing shop.
Ken's laughing at how paranoid we are right now.
Yep.
It's going to be a perfectly calm, no bad, nothing.
He's like, I didn't have anything planned to screw with you guys.
We're going to get pulled into some political fucking fight, and that's going to be the thing. And here we are, ready to be bum-rushed, literally.
So the streets are very different than when you made your way to the castle.
Fucking blizzard.
Yeah, and again, that was not happening before your respective dinners. The streets are just empty now. There's a few people that look almost to be like city workers that are out trying to get some of this shit out of the way, with fantasy shovels. But
we know they're underpaid and overworked. It's fine.
But they're having a hard time trying to keep on top of it. I mean, the snow has stopped, but it piled so much so quickly. And because the outside, like, it's melting at the top a little bit, which is just making it drain and then be heavier. So they're having a hard time keeping up with it. Anyone who's lived in Illinois, you understand. Or Midwest.
Or the Midwest, yep.
Midwest in general, you understand. And even those are kind of few and far between. They just didn't have the workforce ready for some bullshit like this. But you are able to trudge your way back over to the clothier shop. And when you arrive, the lights are off and the front door is locked.
I'm gonna knock on the door.
Hey, no answer.
Like, so the way I see it is, at first Trevor just kind of knocks as to not try to be too disrespectful, and then he's like, ugh. So then we're like banging on it now.
Okay. So you start slamming on the door, and then you see a light from the second floor light up, kind of like a blue tint to the light. And you hear some rustling around from inside. It takes a few minutes, and I think that, are you being patient-ish?
Oh, yeah. Once the light comes on and I hear them rustling around, I'll be patient.
Okay.
I'm glad Brad steamrolled this, because I was checking to make sure there was lockpicking tools in my thieves' tools. And now, knowing there was someone awake upstairs, I feel like that would have been a very piss-poor idea.
They weren't awake.
Well, okay, with the potential to wake up is, I guess, is the better way to put that. not been fun.
They live in the second floor because they already own the property.
Oh, so fuck, no, scratch that. Brad, you have Veldra's sword. I forgot I have that. That's a better weapon than the fucking dagger.
Oh yeah. That works, for the moment at least.
I completely forgot I had that on me. Sorry, Ken.
It's fine. So, you, You stand out in the snow for a little bit, and eventually you hear the click of a lock and door open, and it's the gentleman who was helping you. Oh, I'm sorry, we're closed.
I know you are, and I absolutely apologize for my rudeness, but I need to pick up my armor. Things have come up, and we have business that needs handled, and I'm going to reach in my pocket and hand him 40 gold.
Don't mind. Oh, you must really need your armor, don't you?
And this is for your trouble. I am so sorry. I did not mean to wake you up, but it is urgent.
Oh, well, you know, just, you know, getting myself ready for tomorrow. But okay, come on in. Get out of the snow.
Harkos has never met this man, and Trevor's talking about how bad it is. And so Harkos' brain just goes to how bad things are. He's like, I'm being hunted for execution.
That's another story. Anyways,
So he pulls the door the rest of the way open, and now you get a good look at he's wearing this long, very fluffy robe, and has his hair done up in curlers.
I'm so very sorry.
Pardon the appearance. I gotta maintain all this.
You look fabulous. It's fine. Don't worry.
Oh, you flatterer. Come on in. We had everything of yours cleaned and ready, so it's fine.
Much appreciated. I do appreciate it. And this suit was amazing. It's definitely amazing.
Would you like a garment bag so that you can keep it clean and safe?
How about I leave it here with you for the time being, and I will come back and pick it up.
I feel like you're going to forget.
I'll remember.
It is both me and the DM talking to you right
now. I'm like a steel trap. This one.
Hargos taps his head. To be honest, you met the lady that I brought with me. I don't think she will let me forget.
Okay. I just wanted. I'm just trying to.
So you're aware, I'll make sure the DM reminds me.
What? That's not what I said.
In that case, I will. With that assurance, I will hand the armor over, and I will take the suit. He goes back and he opens up a locker that you see behind the front counter, and takes out all of your pieces that they're all like polished and shined, that they still look like almost a little bit wet, like the areas that have been cleaned, but it looks a lot nicer than it has been in a long time.
My armor has not looked this well taken care of in so long. Thank you again.
We do what we can, but a proper blacksmith probably would have done a nicer job, but we did what we could.
Well, yes, you did an amazing job.
But go hurry into the back room. You don't need to get changed out here. Don't need somebody just running around in their skivvies in my shop.
Yes, no one wants to see that.
He says this, and Harkos has this light bulb come on and goes, uh-oh! And starts pulling like his belt and wraps out of his bag and starts putting his stuff back on because he was still marginally naked from strip games.
You can't make it canon that you were half naked.
I wasn't half naked. I just didn't
have the whole time that you were talking to the kid.
Listen,
the whole time.
Listen. All that means is that Harkos didn't have his little rope around his thing and he didn't have wraps on. I didn't say that his robes were wide the fuck open in the front. For all we know, there's a little latch that keeps it there, and the belt is just for amazing. Show. Okay. All I'm saying is that Harkos was very uncomfortable knowing that he wasn't dressed, quote unquote, to the way that he usually is when going into a fight. And this guy was like, can't have you running around in his skivvies, and he instantly realizes how naked his hands and feet feel, and he misses his belt. I'm not trying to canonize that I was naked when I met the king. I'm just saying that I never said Harkos put his clothes back on, and now he is.
Okay.
I in no way was trying to make it say. I feel like if we were going to canonize that, a guard would have been stopped us and be like, maybe close that up before you go in. You'd be like, oh, of course.
Yeah, I'll go in the back and put my armor on though.
Okay. So you get everything put on. And exit. You just hand the suit over to this gentleman.
Right. Yes.
So you hand the suit over, and he takes it with care and takes it and hangs it back up at the same locker that he took your armor out of. But we'll make sure that gets all pressed and cleaned for you.
Thank you again.
I know that there's a term for it, but I'm sure that the pants have taken on a little bit of moisture from all the snow out there.
Oh, yes, a little bit. Thank you again for everything and for me bothering you. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you are most welcome. When somebody's made for a suit, they're made for a suit, and I can't take that away from you.
Thank you again, and have a good rest.
Oh. You too, when you get there, I guess. It seems like you won't get one for a bit, though, how you're acting.
Yeah, perhaps not.
As we walk out the door and close it.
Oh, okay, fine.
Trevor, I'm still in here.
No, I'm kidding. I went with Trevor.
So, so now lowercase I-line to the shop.
Okay.
So when we come out, I'll say, Harkos, perhaps we go to Father's shop next.
Okay.
Unless you have other ideas.
No. Nope. Can't think of nothing.
Lowercase I line to the shop then.
Technically, there's proof at your father's shop. Not the first thing in Harker's mind, though, so.
Or mine, apparently.
Well, that's why I said it outside of game, because I was trying to debate whether Harker's would be sound enough, and he's not, so. He's getting there. He's definitely sobered up because of the argument, but
there's proof, but we don't know who we can trust. So
I'm not saying to show. I'm saying if we are beset upon, there's a dragonborn.
That's fair. I gotcha.
Herald inside your dad's shop.
Yeah. Okay. Lowercase I line to the shop.
Okay. So you start running, and you are preparing for the hop. Can you both please roll a d12 for me?
Here I was picking up the nice heavy Trarkos D20 and he wants a fucking 12.
That's a 2.
Which I can't fucking find any of my... There it is. I got an 11.
Okay.
Which when added together, the two digits make a 2. Similarity.
Okay. So you start making your way to the shop. You get about halfway between the clother and the Iron Jaw family shop, and the road that you would normally take to this is just completely covered in snow, as appears just with the depth that it'd be almost impassable at this time.
Do you know another way around?
There are several other ways. Trevor, you would definitely know this because of living here. But they are by no means direct.
Brad?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Okay. It was very quiet.
I guess we take the shortest other means.
Okay. So I'm gonna say that there's two different ways that you can go. You can go the very long way, which would take you back up into Hoity-Toityville, kind of nearby the castle. And then your other path, pardon me, your other path would take you down into kind of a slum before going back up and into the merchant district where your dad's shop is.
I have a question before we take an alternate path.
Mm-hmm.
I don't suppose my lovely spirit guardians could clear the road for us, could they?
Yeah, I'm not going to give you that one.
Damn! Summon up. They're like, you keep summoning us up for the stupidest thing.
Harkos would give you so much shit for enlisting the elderly to clear the snow.
Puffles would give you shit for using a third level fucking spell to clear snow.
No, I'm gonna do it one better. How much of the road is like it's impassable? Like, so it's clear across the road, obviously. Like, how far is it impassable?
You have no way of telling that. Kingsley has not returned to you yet, so you can't use him to try to find out.
Well, how about this? 60 feet, I cast Wall of Fire.
Oh, Jesus.
It's 60 feet long, and it can be up to 20 feet in diameter and 20 feet high. I don't need it that high, obviously. Oh, wait, hang on. Oh, a ring, and I can do it in a ring in 20 feet diameter. Sorry. 60 feet long, 20 feet high, and 1 foot thick. That's a little thin. But, I mean, I can cast it twice. So I want to try it.
I would say, are you, you're doing it?
You've, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to look at Harkos, and I'm going to try something, and it might be stupid, but let's see what happens. Stand back.
And then I'll go ahead and make Nick's reaction canonical, and as it happens, Harkos will go, oh, Jesus. I'll say, oh, gods, I guess, because, you know.
I was going to say, because Jesus exists within this world.
It's just a guy that Harkos knows from the sanctuary, that's all.
Yeah, so like, since he's never done this and it's a concentration spell, I feel like what Trevor does is he kind of stops and puts his hands together and like envisions the runes that he normally has when he does anything hefty, and then the wall like the runes go on the ground and like light up, and then the wall of fire goes.
Okay, I'm gonna say that foot of thickness, it's still hot, it's still fire, so it starts to melt some width out from that,
and it lasts for a minute. Yeah. So
you that have this wall that drops in the middle of the road, and fucking starts to melt through the snow. After your minute of letting it do its thing, there is a nice long scorch mark along the road, which somebody from city planning is going to be very upset with you about. But you've created a pathway. I'm assuming you're going to kind of like walk down and see how it gets.
Yeah.
Right. After about 40 or so feet, the it starts to taper off and gets to a more easily walkable path.
Nice.
Because fuck me for planning something. but you are able to pass through this little chunk. Actually, as you get around to the other side, there's a dude who's leaning on a shovel. And he's like staring over as you guys pass through. thank you, I guess.
Very welcome.
I don't know if I need to keep on shoveling or not. That kind of... I won't do that.
So, no filter coast is going to look at Trevor and go, what if he would have been on the other end?
That 5d8 damage certainly wouldn't feel too good for me.
Harkos, I surveyed it quite well. I know you're intoxicated, but I purposely kept it away from him.
No, you did. You just said, "Watch this," and then you walked up. You did. You put some circles on the ground, and then you started burning things. I could have flown up and surveyed it, but you didn't ask.
It was fine. I knew he was there. It was everything's fine.
You know, sir, you don't actually look like you should be flying right now.
He shouldn't be. He probably shouldn't be walking, but he's doing a darn good job.
But I don't know how it could actually appear that you have three legs, but they just keep on wobbling.
I was problems. I was on a date. The.
Oh, I get it. Good one. I like it. Use that on my wife when I get later. When I get home later.
The first date ever.
Congratulations. I tipped my shovel to you.
Thanks. The king ruined it, so that's exciting.
We should get going, Harkos.
Well, I was having fun. You guys don't... you're going. Okay.
Yeah, Trevor drags Harkos on. Trevor, I didn't even tell him about the dragons. Like a steel trap, Harkos is mine. Fucking Fort Knox. Nothing goes in, nothing comes out. Wait, whatever goes in doesn't come out. You know what? I stick by what I said the first time. Fuck it. It wasn't That's a mistake, awesome. It was a choice.
Okay. So you get to the other side. You have your little interaction with the city worker, who was apparently pseudo-Australian. And I made a choice.
Fair.
And you continue along to your father's shop. You can tell that the kind of early summer warmth is starting to take its toll on the snow. That it is starting to melt away a little bit, but you know you're still kind of having to trudge through.
Yeah.
But you eventually get to the courtyard that has your father's shop in it. So what do you want to do?
To the chap.
Okay.
Is there still a light on?
That was obvious. No, there is not any lights on now.
I'm knocking
again.
Even the
dim light that you saw earlier, that has been extinguished.
I'll knock again just to make sure.
Okay. You get no answer.
Try the door.
Hey, the door is locked.
Okay.
Do you not... Do you have a secret key?
I don't have a key.
Technically, Lenora has his key.
That's like throwing a brick through the window.
So Harkos, in this tell-all version of Harkos that is very open about himself, he asked Trevor that, and Trevor's like, I don't have a hidden key. And I'll pull out the lock picking tools that I have because of my criminal background, and Harkos will go, I have a key.
Oh.
I've not done this in years. Which I shouldn't say out loud to Ken, but it's fair. When the fuck else have I picked a lock in this campaign? I can't lie about that. Ken was here.
All things considered, I don't think Father will mind, so have at it.
Okay.
All right, so before you do this, go ahead and roll me up a Constitution saving throw, Harkos.
Yeah.
That's not very nice, kid. That's not very nice what you're doing. Harkos is having some constitution problems, and you know this. Not tonight, he's not. That's a nat 20 plus 3.
Woo!
All right. So I was going to give you disadvantage on this if you failed, but I think that you're able to steel yourself and sober yourself up enough that your hands remain steady. So go ahead and roll a sleight of hand.
Okay.
Can I do the help action with this?
I got an 18 total.
Okay, now, Trevor.
What?
If you wanted to, you could try to use the help action, but I would really love a narrative reason that you're able to help him. Love to see what you come up with.
The only thing I could logically think of is Trevor's watching and he's like, Hakos, I don't know exactly how to pick a lock, but I do know about metal, and you're putting a lot of pressure on that pick. Maybe a little easier when you're trying to turn it. What do you think?
Ah, fuck it. All right.
He's a good bullshitter. So I get it, that means I get advantage, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what that means. Okay. So I got an 18 and an 18. I rolled two 14s.
Your help was negligible.
Yep.
Yeah. So if we want to RP this out, if that's what Trevor does, Harkus is going to look away while still lockpicking. And I don't know that I've succeeded at the lockpick at all. So I could very easily fuck this up right now. But Harkus is going to look away while still doing it and go, Trevor, I know what I was taught by pirates. Now, I may have only been two, but I was taught by pirates.
I'm not critiquing, just trying to help. That's all.
But you're fiddling around. You get everything in there. You start making your adjustments. And although you're flashing back to those memories of the pirates that were showing you these little tips and tricks. And
now, if you ever find yourself some good booty, but you don't got the key, you always got the key, boy.
I don't know what booty is, but boy, am I excited.
So that little memory flashes across your bird brain.
Sorry and, to world build for you, kid. I apologize.
I'm good with this.
I like it.
And you hear a click as the door unlocks.
And I pat Harkos on the back. Ugh, you surprise me every day.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Harkos spins his lockpick tools like a key and then puts it back in his bag.
Did the criminal background give you proficiency with thieves' tools?
Hang on,
I think you might have used
tool proficiencies and one type of gaming set, and I put thieves tools. One type of gaming set and I put cards, and then thieves' tools.
Okay. Yeah, so you you actually should have
added. So I would have had my proficiency on there, which would have been it would have, instead of an 18, it would have been a 21. But
yeah, so no.
I mean I did fine either way. So
yeah, you succeeded either way, but you hear the click as the door unlocks.
Into the shop.
Okay, you open up the door, and you hear the soft creak of the old hinges as the door opens to the Dark Ironjaw family shop.
Your dad's gonna kill us.
Father, if you're in here, it's just me. Just letting you know.
Now, Trevor, you hearken back to a memory of when you were a 16-year-old full head of hair, Trevor, sneaking in after your rendezvous with your old flame. No, I'm done. Okay. So you get no response. You hear nothing.
Okay.
I was expecting a giggle, and I got nothing, and I'm really upset about it.
I giggled. The mic must not have picked it up.
I laughed.
Okay. I didn't hear anything. I was very sad. Really? I was like, well, that fucking fell flat. That's fine.
I wonder if there's a connectivity thing, because I super fucking... I definitely laughed. Mainly at the hair part, but I definitely laughed.
Yeah, I laughed at that. As soon as we get inside, definitely close the door.
I was going to say, Harkos will turn around and lock the door behind us.
Okay. It's just a real simple lock. So you were well versed in how locks work.
Yes, well, he is.
More imaginary locks than anything.
Harkos is proficient in locking doors. Honestly, we haven't had it in a while. I think drunk Harkos does the one lock and goes, it was very satisfying, and makes a bunch of noises. and turns okay. around and I feel safe
check,
now.
Check the back room first.
Like where Avalon was?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go and pop open the back room. Go ahead and roll a perception check for me.
Do you want both of us or just Trevor?
Yeah, Trevor was opening the door, so.
Cool beans.
That is a 17 total.
Okay. As you put your hand on it and you turn the handle and you start to push the door, you notice that there's something attached to the door.
Oh. Perhaps a trap.
I'll give you this, that as you like kind of start to move it, you see a very fine piece of wire is attached to the bottom of the door, feeding inside.
Oh. We'll just close that back up. I would say Trevor has zero desire to try to disarm a trap. And if it's there, it's for a reason. So I'm not going to mess with that.
I ain't going to fuck with it. Look, I got lucky with that door. Let's be honest here. So I ain't about to fuck around with some iron jaw machination trap.
So you see him pull the door a little and then he stops. And then he slowly closes the door and he goes, perhaps we leave that door closed. Seems we're not meant to go that way.
Oh, okay.
Drunk Harkos just throws the door open. I want to see.
Yeah, what did you see that I couldn't?
Oh, shit.
Okay, so what do you want to do from here?
What about Father's sword? Where did he take it from?
He went
upstairs or something, right? He was rummaging around?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just disappeared on us and came back with it.
So I'll go looking for it.
Are you heading up to like the second floor?
Yeah.
Like where he went into?
Yeah.
Okay, so you head up the stairs. And
keeping the lights off because I got my dark vision helm.
Okay, and are you trying to be sneaky with this, or what are you doing?
Well, I mean,
I'm not trying to make a shit ton of noise, but I wouldn't say he's like, you know, tiptoeing either. All right.
So why don't you roll a stealth check? Just to see how much of a racket you are making.
I'm a loud fucker. That's a 4.
Jesus.
Cool. So you head up the stairs and they're creaky as fuck. Like when your dad went up them, it didn't seem that bad, but man, you were hitting every spot. And it's making you think that maybe dad needs to take care of these stairs a little bit better. But,
right.
You get up to the landing and head over to the door that you saw him go into.
Carefully opening the door now that I know that the other one had extras.
I'm not going to make you roll for it. There's nothing attached to this door like there was that one.
Okay.
So you pop the door open and take a look into a storage room that there is a ton of different pieces of weaponry and armor that are all stored in here. You see most of them look almost like failed projects. Like maybe they were as an example, there is a man, my throat's getting weird. There's a great sword that's sitting on a shelf that there was a very intricate pattern in the hilt and it seemed like it doesn't look quite right. Like it was kind of like a failure in experimentation.
Huh.
And so it's just kind of sitting on a shelf here. And you see a whole bunch of different pieces that are like that. You see armor that like etching is like halfway done, but looks like something went wrong. And so now it lives here. But you don't see the sword like right away.
Okay. I'll go into the room.
Hey, well, you're in the room, but okay. you don't see this sword sitting around. Like maybe, out in the open.
I was gonna say maybe look for a hidden compartment or something.
Okay. Roll investigation.
That's a 17 on the die, and I have a plus 0, so 17.
Okay, so you're kind of searching through some of these piles and stacks of stuff, and you almost on accident, like you kind of brush your gauntlet up against part of the wall, and you hear a hollow thud as you do it. Yeah. It makes it seem like that there's maybe like something behind this.
So check for a loose spot.
Okay. You kind of fiddle around and you find a little hole where you can get a finger into to pop off a board on this wall.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. So you pop it and inside there is a large piece of fabric wrapped around something long and thin.
Take it out.
Okay. You take it out. Check it. It's the sword.
Sweet. So I'm gonna go ahead and take that.
Okay.
And equipeth it.
You all right, hit control E to equip it.
Yeah. I was just gonna click. It should throw right in my equip slot.
Okay, yeah. No, it's fine. So you you click it, you unequip Veldra's sword and equip this one. And it is unidentified. So unfortunately you do not know what it do.
Well, funny thing, that being, I have the identify spell. And I'm not joking.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you going to cast it?
Why not? Let's do it.
Okay. Give me one second here, because I got to look at the verbiage of identify.
You want me to read it to you?
Oh, do you have it right there?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Says you choose one object that you must touch throughout the casting of the spell. If it is a magic item or some other magic imbued object, you can learn its properties and how to use them, whether it requires attunement to use and how many charges it has, if any. You learn whether any spells are affecting the item and what they are. If the item was created by a spell, you learn which spell created it. If you instead touch a creature throughout the casting, you learn what spells, if any, are currently affecting it.
Okay.
So you cast Identify on the sword. And I think that you get some interesting narrative pieces of information from doing this, and that I will describe forthwith. The feeling that you get from this weapon is the exact same feeling that you get when you've done this kind of stuff to Ardenin.
Oh.
It's not the same.
But it's close.
But it's close enough. Even down to, like, the composition of the metal that you know enough about this kind of stuff that you get that from this spell. That so the composition of it, the so material. It's like
the same that I used to make the basic Ardenim.
Yes. It's basically like that it was shaped into a sword instead of a hammer.
A hammer. Huh.
But in terms of magical properties, it is a +1 greatsword.
+1 greatsword.
But it seems flexible.
Interesting.
I don't know how better to describe it other than flexible. So the basic idea is here that it can be used. It has the versatile property that it can be used one-handed like a longsword. Uh-huh. But when wielded with two hands, or it does 1d8 as a longsword, but when wielded with two hands, that it jumps up to greatsword damage, so 2d6.
Oh, nice.
That's one of the special properties with this. It does also carry a +1 magic bonus. And that's it for now.
Okay.
Is it's I think that you get the impression that your dad fiddled with this, maybe unconsciously after forging it, because like I said, he kind of woke up and there it was. Because there's definitely magic that's been imbued into it. Not the same way that you did with, like, the Dragon Rock, but
right.
There's some sort of magic that's been infused, which wasn't present with Ardenim other than just its crafting.
Right.
That something more has been done to this to put it where it's at. So there you go.
Sweet. I'm going to go back downstairs and give Veldra's sword back to Harkos.
Okay. You loot share and give the sword to him.
Thank you.
So what do you want to do now?
I almost feel like we just kind of hide out here for the moment. Like, maybe?
You hear a tap, tap, tap on the door. Like the front door.
Looking at the door.
Tap, tap, tap.
I'll go to the door.
Okay. Do you open it?
Yeah.
Okay. Kingsley flies in.
Oh, thank goodness.
He flies in. He takes a loop around the inside of the shop, and then he comes down, lands on your shoulder, and he has a piece of parchment in his beak.
I will pat him on the head and say, thank you so much, friend, and take the parchment.
He caws while he does it. So you take the note, and it's just a fairly small piece of parchment that at the top of it is written in a fairly nice, like, kind of clean hand. That it's from Lenara. And she writes back saying, you better not disappear on me. I better see you tomorrow. And then at the bottom, there is a much rougher scrawled hand that says, tell Harkos the same damn thing. I'd better see him tomorrow. XOXO.
What's it say?
So I'm reading it and okay. And I kind of scroll it back up and stick it in the bag. The ladies say that they hope we're okay, and well, it seemed like very passive threats were made that we had better see them tomorrow.
Oh.
Yes.
So don't die then.
Don't. Well, I think that's always the goal.
You would lead me to believe differently sometimes.
I'm not very good at it, I understand. But...
Not very good. At nonetheless, you died twice in a magic dream within 5 minutes of itself.
So, what are you? How are you? Are you just gonna hunker here for the night, or what do you want to do?
I think so. What do you think?
I'm extremely fucking paranoid, as always. So I'm on board with this plan, as I was last recording session when you messaged me afterwards. Makes a lot of sense. However, this is purely dependent on the fact that bad guys got sent after us because we pissed off the wrong people.
Right, right.
It's also dependent on the fact that they don't know what we showed up on.
Right.
But the argument could be made that they already do know what we showed up on because ruffians found us right after we disembarked. That were sent by Lord T, if we're to believe that Lord T is Tyrillian.
Well, we were away from the ship.
But still, we don't know when they clocked us, you know?
That's fair.
Because, I'm like in the camp that we shouldn't go back. I'm also in the camp that, like, nothing bad has happened yet, which makes you wonder what's going to happen to the boat while we're not there.
I didn't even think of that!
Right? Because if they do know, and Ken is planning something bad, we're going to be safe over here, and he's going to be, and shit happens in the world, whether we're there or not, and we're going to show up the next day. You get there, the Brava's in ash. And I'll ask, who's Ash and how do you fit the Brava in him, number one, and then we'll all laugh and then I'll cry.
Oh, man.
But I don't know what to do. And that would honestly, I think Harkos would have that like moment in his brief clarity every now and again where he'd bring up, he goes, so, I mean, we could stay here. And we'd probably be relatively safe. But that's if they don't know how we got here. There's a very real chance that they do know and that they are there now or on the... It's a real Sophie's choice, whatever that is.
I mean, you do have the thought that Captain Kirby must be an accomplished warrior.
Oh,
he must be able to protect the people on the ship. I mean, he is a man among boys. If you just look at...
all right, I was on the page with you, and then you lost me.
Hang on. No, Ken makes a valid point. However... he'd probably be more inclined to be in a good mood and save his people if he hadn't been fucking ditched and sad and alone and probably drowning his sorrows away from the ship. But, you know, no one wanted to take him out, so I'm sure he's nowhere near his crew.
Oh, my God.
So he could be the biggest man's man there is. I guarantee you he's having a sad fucking night. He's probably snowed in somewhere alone, cheating at cards with himself.
Well, okay. I mean, so,
I don't know that there's a good out here.
There's not. There's
this
not.
This is also us being super paranoid that Ken's going to do something now. We don't know that he's going to do something now.
So there's not a good out. But
but Harkos made a valid point that Trevor hadn't thought of yet. So,
well, Harkos, I've been kind of dragging you with me on my little fetch quest here. So, do you think we should head back? I was just thinking on if they didn't know what we came in on, but you're right. There's nothing saying that they don't.
Trevor, I may be on the downswing of everything that I've been doing to my body this evening. But I can't shake the feeling that despite our best efforts to do good, bad follows us, and there's a lot of good people on that boat. Ship, he said ship.
Then we go.
And if this is the wrong choice and we do get followed, I mean, we've been a wall before.
Agreed. And I'm sure we've dealt with far worse than what they can throw at us.
All right.
Onward.
So you're heading to the Brava.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Lock up Dad's shop before we leave.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Catching on.
It only took fucking 5 years, but it's fine.
You didn't say you were doing that. It was implied, but you didn't say it.
So you leave. You get the Ironjaw family shop all locked back up and tidied. I'll throw out there
it's not important.
That it is very obvious that somebody came up to the door in all the snow.
I won't ignore it then, because I was just about to say, does Trevor want to leave? That I feel like Hargos would be like, do we want to leave a note saying that we were here and you took the sword?
No.
So you just want your dad to think that someone broke in and took shit?
Ah, fuck. Yeah, all right. Yeah, you're right.
Say fucking rebel, Trevor.
You're right. I should. So yeah, Trevor will leave a note then.
Okay.
Stating that we were there and I borrowed, in quotations, his sword.
All right, you write the note, leave it. Do you just like leave it on the counter? Like the work counter?
You know what I want to do? No, I don't want to leave it on the work counter. I'm going to slightly pull that door open again and then drop it inside the door.
Okay. Like the back room door?
Yeah, the one that's trapped.
With Avalon? Okay. You slide it open real gentle. You drop the note in, you close it on up. And then you depart for the Brava. So you make your way back the same route that you've taken to and fro this location before. As you pass back...
Well...
Oh.
Sorry.
No,
ahead. The footprints to the door thing just clicked in my head again. Which way did they lead?
They were your footprints.
Oh.
You did not see another set of footprints.
What he was saying is that it's going to be very obvious that someone came up to the door.
My brain took after that
after the
wrong.
Snow stopped.
And I mean, that does bring up a relevant piece of information, though, is that you did not see footprints leading away. You just, it was your footprints coming up to the door.
Right. Which means either Dad left before the snow or he was still in there. So I suppose we'll find out. But yeah, I took your the footprints thing the wrong way. But anyways, onwards.
All right. So you make your way back to the Brava along the same route that you've taken. The same place that you fought the brigands earlier that you pass through, and you see the same. I always want to say fucking Khajiit. Fucking kills me.
Tabaxi.
You see the same Tabaxi is bundled up, sitting in a chair in front of his home. And he gives you a nod as you pass by.
Give him a nod.
So you pass by. You pass by your little scuffle area from earlier and continue on towards the Brava. So, set the scene for you here. Brava's all docked up where you left it. All of the cargo that you... that was being unloaded when you arrived and then when you came back before your dates has all been cleared out and looks like looks really empty right now, that there's not anything that's like being prepared to bring in or anything like that. I think you get the sense that after this was done, everybody kind of just took the night. And like they said, they were going to be here for at least a few days. So maybe the reload will happen probably in the next day or so. Go ahead and both of you roll perception checks for me.
21.
not a 21. Was a 11.
Okay. So as you make your way up to the vessel, you're not seeing anything that seems out of place. You notice that all the cargo has been cleared out. There is one of the crew members is kind of doing rounds around the top deck of the Brava, but you don't see anything that like looks out of place. Nothing that seems off.
It's a very ominous perception roll to not see anything.
Sometimes I just got to keep you on your toes.
So, okay. So, since I can speak to Kingsley telepathically, I'm going to ask him if this was how it was when he brought the letter.
Have I talked for Kingsley before?
No, because I've never talked to him telepathically.
You've only ever called.
So, okay, here, I'll RP it. So, again, telepathically. Kingsley, I know we don't normally do this, but is this what it looked like when you brought Lenara the note?
Oi, this is the first time in all this time that you've had me that you've actually talked to me, and I'm kind of upset about it.
No, that's not it. I'm sorry. I wanted to do it. I saw the opportunity and I took it.
I was so on board because I felt like Trevor was going to hate it. Or Brad. Brad, rather. Not Trevor.
Yes, we truly have never communicated this way before, have we?
We have not. But I apologize. I am not used to this. This is strange to me.
I'm used to those who I partnered with having much better communication skills with me than you.
I am very sorry.
You should be. But
getting fucking told. You
judgy ass bird. Damn.
But in reference to your question about the state of the ship, yes, this is how I saw and how I left it. It maybe a few less people than there were before, but maybe there was two that were doing rounds, but it's getting late. I'm sure that they're tired.
Whoa. Okay. So the guy doing rounds, do we notice? Do we know him?
It's somebody that you've seen on the ship before.
Okay. That was.
Yeah, it's not a stranger.
Okay. So I guess I'll try to find Lenara.
Okay. So you head on board. The guard, for lack of a better word, will greet you as you come on board. Welcome back. Are you going to be staying back here with us?
We aren't exactly sure just yet.
Oh, okay. The captain said that you're free to come and go as you please. He actually made a really oddly specific note of it before he left, but, you know.
He's not on the ship?
Oh, no. He's out on his leave, I guess.
Oh, no.
I don't know what weird terms he uses, but no, he's not on board right now.
Is that normal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. He, typically, he'll be gone for like the first night and then most of the second, and then he'll stumble in a little worse for the wear on the second night.
Okay. Thank you. I've just wanted to make sure everything was okay.
Yeah, I haven't had any strange visitors or, folks come calling in the night other than the two of you and Lenara and Evelyn and some of the others all came back from their adventures this evening, but haven't seen anybody else. It was a bird that came in. Oh, that bird. But yeah, no, everything's been fine so far.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm gonna go look for Lenara.
Okay.
I think Harkos it would opt to stay on deck and help do rounds with this guy.
Okay. Oh, hey, are you wanting to help me?
Yes, please.
Should we do separate or together or do you care?
Alternating or
we could walk together. I'm still recovering.
Don't you have like a flu or something?
No, not quite.
Okay, I heard that there was some nasty flu going around. I was just worried, I didn't want to be that close to you if I was going to be catching something, because my immune system ain't what it once was.
So they start to make their rounds, and Harkos goes, "It wasn't the flu, it was a date." Oh. Harkos just goes into his fucking rant about like recount of his pirate date escapades to this poor innocent soul.
He appears overwhelmed. Trevor, where are you searching for Lenara?
You said she had her own quarters, didn't you?
Yes.
There.
Okay. So you head there and check, and bed and everything is empty. You are you going in or are you just like knocking? Probably should have asked that question first.
I'm gonna roll it. Okay, so not thinking, he's just gonna fling the door open.
All right, so that makes it easier. You fling the door open. Her quarters are empty. It's a decent sized room. There's enough room for, there's a bed, there's a pretty decent sized desk, along with like a couple of chests that are laid around on the floor in here. On the desk, you see there's a couple of pieces of parchment with an inkwell and quill, obviously from the return note that she sent you. You see the gown that she was wearing, along with the pieces of jewelry, are all kind of like still out. The dress is kind of thrown on top of the bed. The jewelry and stuff is laid on top of the desk. But no Lenara.
So I don't know if there's other people around. So like when he flung the door open, hey, Lenara.
Oh. Everybody is either off ship or asleep at this point.
I guess go back upstairs and ask the guard.
What the fuck are you going to ask me? What do you have to ask me?
So when I get back up there, you said nothing strange has happened when Lenara came back. Did she leave again?
Oh, no. I saw her go below deck and then saw the bird come in, and then the bird left, and then I haven't seen her since then.
Is there... maybe I just didn't look well enough. I'm gonna head back down below deck again.
Okay.
I'm gonna start looking like everywhere.
Okay. So you start searching through, and there's only a few like cabins, like you know, that you've got the captain's quarters, you've got Lenara's smaller first mate quarters. There's a couple other assorted ones, but they're, you know, a little bit smaller than hers. But for the most part, it seems like, you know, it's the hammock type situation for most of the crew. So you kind of like pop your head in some of these and you see the hammock set up with lots of snores and various guttural noises as people are sleeping. After you kind of search around those rooms, you go down another deck and you get into the like kind of the guts of the ship and the storage. And you've searched everywhere and you can't find her. And then you find a door. It's probably some storage room, but you see it and you're like, oh shit, I haven't checked there yet. But you head over to the door, you pop it open, and inside is Lenara. And like, as soon as you pop the door open, you see a flurry of movement, and then a cloaked black figure is behind her with a deadly looking blade held up to her throat. And as you look in on this scene, the figure in the black cloak takes its free hand and moves it up to its lips. In a hush. And that's where we're going to call it for tonight.
I'm quite literally shaking over here.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, buddy.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not, but I am.
Wow.
So, thank you all for joining us at our table. If you're enjoying what you're listening to, we would kindly ask that you show us some support. We have a couple of different ways that you can do that. The first way is through our Patreon. We are good warlocks, good little warlocks, and we offer up sacrifices to our patrons depending on the tier of support that they choose. If Patreon is not so much your thing, you could do something as simple as just buying us a coffee. If you go to ko-fi.com, you search for Rolling in the Geek, you can do a one-time donation there. Brad, where can these fine folks get in touch with us?
In a closet with a black figure behind us, a cloaked, a dark cloaked figure behind us.
A little flustered. Give me a second.
Center. Center yourself.
Man. Whew. You can subscribe to our newsletter on our website at RitGeekPodcast.com to keep up with all things Rolling in the Geek. Or you can find us on any of your favorite ear bacon stations. Also, we're very active on Twitter. And if you want to talk to a bunch of rad content creators, podcasters, artists, and all around cool people, you can join us in the Underground Oracle Discord through the link on our website.
Thank you very much, Brad. Nick, this week, you are the Sound Rogue Assassin of Sound.
Weird how that was the choice you made.
Yeah, it is weird how that's the choice that I made.
So strange.
In the shadows, you draw your steely blade. And with a flash, you cut out Sniffles and Vape and Cat Meows. Can you please lather that dagger in poison and stab us something fun to go out on?
It's Hootie Who from Nick and Harkos as we semi-confidently stride through episode 85. Tune in next week when the shock of all that, I'm sure, all the bad that will unfold will be Nick's in episode 86. You know, I was kind of excited about this week's song, and now I'm in a bad place. So this week's song, I've went to a well that I've not tapped very often, per things that Ken has mentioned to me. So this is a musical number.
Ooh.
That I've redone to be about nerd stuff. Well, actually, specifically Ribbon. Yeah, no, that's all the build-up. Without further ado, here's the parody for episode 85. Please do enjoy.
I fear them dragons. I fear them. They are all convinced that you're dead, even though we've seen many of you. Sucks that they are all mistaken about dragons. We'll hunt you, dragons. We'll hunt you. They don't understand, but we do. Even now you're growing stronger. There's a war swelling all around you. You can feel the tension in the air.
All right, this is a big finish.
We know there are dragons, and someday we'll fight you. Till we meet you, then we will prepare. Fight the B team if you frickin' dare.
There you go.
Nice.
Fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Oh God, thank you so much.
I don't know why I was expecting Sound of Music.
Oh, I should do like, Sound of, I could do Sound of Music.
I could do Sound of Music. The first thing that popped into my head. You are level 2 going on level 3. Maybe it's time to think.
Maybe it's time to spec. Will you be totem or maybe wild mage? give it a solid think. Yeah, I can just move this one.
That's beautiful. Stop it.
If anyone's reading this, this is Captain Harkos of the HMS Pissarro. I'm trapped in deep space. They got the engines. The ship's in trouble. I don't even know where I am. I don't even know if anyone's gonna hear this.
Captain Harkos, I'm picking up the ship incoming.
Well, can you hail him? Can you get him over here, please?
No. It appears that communications are offline. But it does appear that the ship is the HMS Iron Jaw.
Oh, Trevor. It fucking figures. Just signal him somehow, please. We're running out of air.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.